good place to be on Sunday morning. And I thought that leading up to today when I knew or was hopeful that I'd be able to come back. Just missed one Sunday, but it seemed like it's been a lot longer. But it's a wonderful place to be. And if God's here, it's a restful place, a calming, peaceful. And it's uplifting, and it's good to see and have fellowship with brothers and sisters. So I'm thankful. I hope I'm thankful to be back this morning. I'd like to go to I'm going to go to Psalm 32, 32nd Psalm. Begin here with the thoughts, the subject that's on my mind. One could also go to where the Apostle Paul quoted this first couple of verses in Romans chapter 4, I think around verse 7. But we'll read this couple of verses in Psalm 32 and begin there. Please continue to pray. It says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. I'd like to talk some on this debt that has been paid off for us. The Bible and is full of the Word of God, things that can, as we're distracted and we are taken away from service of God and His praise and worship and so forth. There's a lot that we can go to get us back on track and to be thankful for as we go through the, whether it's tribulation, whatever tribulations, the sorrows, as we lose loved ones, as our loved ones grow ill, or are injured, or, there are so many things in life that, we are burdened with, but, I like to go somewhere where I can. It causes me to take a deep breath, but also see what God's done for us. There are so many questions that come up, and many times they're worded. Well, why? Terribly worded. And some people will ask, well, why did God cause this or that to happen? Some calamity or something. And we realize that He can cause these kind of things in His judgment and so forth. But there's some things that, or why does God allow something to happen? We can point to this transgression, this sin that is mentioned here in this first verse of this 32nd Psalm, I'm amazed that we have the amount of the level of mercy and grace that we do have in life, and maybe that's because I'm looking into my own mind. My own actions, knowing who I am and all, but the fact that more things, negative things, or calamities or trials don't happen, I'm amazed, and it points me to the mercy of God. But this debt that was paid by Jesus Christ on the cross, that was an eternal penalty that was paid off. And so I want to go into some of that. Romans chapter 3, I think, around the 23rd verse, that it says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sinning is missing the mark, and so we've missed the mark, and so all men. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that Adam, when he transgressed the law in the garden, there was a penalty for that. And God told him, if you eat that of that tree, thou shalt surely die. And so he did. He died, and he plunged all of his heritage, family into that death. Death is a separation. So we have an eternal death there that Adam put us in, and now we have his nature. I'm thankful that we also have the nature of God, that we have an unction to come and worship him, and that we have longing to do what we're to do for good in our lives. But this separation, this eternal death, a penalty had to be paid. God simply did not just say, okay, I'll just forget about that. No, he demanded a sacrifice whereby we might be saved. And we know who that sacrifice was. It was Jesus Christ. We know where it took place, and we'll have scripture for that, of course, as well. And it's throughout God's words. But we know the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And so he's given us that. But so this debt here has been paid, and this word forgiven here, this is the state that we're in at this point. We are forgiven. Just as Christ is risen and we are risen in him eternally, we're forgiven. And as I tried to preach here, I mentioned that we still, when talking about the judgment seat of Christ, that we still need, we still are under the judgment of Jesus Christ in our lives here. I still commit sin in the thoughts and the actions that I, or the neglect, the sins of omission, commission that I still do here. But yet every one of them have been paid off. That debt in totality. And so we can go back to this where I think of at the funeral that I conducted recently of my father-in-law, where there's not one sin that Christ didn't die for. He paid the complete debt. Now, recently, I guess in the last year or two, maybe by now, we were blessed to use the low interest rates, cut our mortgage time from 30 years down to 15 and all, but we still owe the money. We still owe that money. If we have loans, in fact, I'm sure I will separate from this life. I'll die my natural death still being in debt. But I still have that debt. Jesus Christ paid completely the debt, the penalty of sin that we owed. It was not his debt to pay. It was not a penalty upon him. It was ours that he paid. So he paid that in total for us. And then I like the last. Let me read the last verse of this 32nd Psalm. It says, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." So be glad and rejoice. It's difficult to do that sometimes. And even when I'm experiencing things, and even when I know these things, and I can, I've got to remember that when all else here fails on this earth, when I fail, when I stumble, when I commit sin, and have to pray for God's mercy again, that I know, in fact, that I'll be in heaven because my complete debt was paid off. That penalty was paid in sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now let me go to the second chapter of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, around the 13th verse or so. Verse 13 says, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." So exact same thought, having forgiven you I like that that is past tense. And it says, all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. The cross is exactly where legally this happened. This blotting out here of the ordinances and being forgiven there. And we know when it says that Jesus Christ ascended and is set down at the right hand of God, then that sacrifice was accepted. We can rest in that because Jesus Christ was impeccable, and he was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, and so he paid this penalty of our sinfulness and of all of our sins on the cross there. As I've said before, I know that. That there are those children of God that will live their entire lives and not completely realize. I believe that we have a peace within us that in regeneration, in this quickening that it mentions here, we are given a knowledge. When we continually question whether or not Jesus Christ paid the complete debt off for us, then and we have doubts, and we sing the song, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief, and we question that, then we don't have that full peace. So I love to emphasize the fact that we have been also given the great blessing in our lives that we know that we are forgiven, the debt has been paid, the penalty is gone in the mind of God, and now live our lives in the presence of that seat of judgment of Jesus Christ, that we have the one that died for our sins, and he's a merciful high priest, he bestows mercy upon us. I can't imagine myself being sitting there on that seat of judgment and the things that go through my mind, and because I would soon throw into this righteous judgment that Christ uses, a revenge or vengeance, or I think that person deserves this or that. Well, we all deserve that we should pay off this penalty, this debt ourselves. And we did not have to. And we could have gone through our entire lives, and many do, I believe, and don't realize that it's been paid off. It's done. And it's not just a lowered amount. It's not just a lower interest rate. It is gone. It's paid off. And we are now forgiven. And so we live our lives in this way. And so all I have to do, the simplest of things, is to serve God acceptably, but he has to bless us in that. And as we saw last year, there's so many distractions and things that would remove us from worshiping God, and he deserves better than that. I look to him and the love and the mercy that he's bestowed upon the church in the last year, we continue to be blessed with his great presence that we need so abundantly, and we need to be shown and reminded that he has paid this sin debt completely. Now let me jump on that thought. Let me jump over to 1 John, the second chapter, I believe it is, 1 John chapter 2. To bring this thought in of realizing this. That Jesus Christ could have come, suffered, bled, and died, given up the ghost, made the statement, it is finished, and legally paid that sin debt, and we would have never known about it. That we would have been worried, sick with worry, careful for that, full of care for that, for our eternal home in heaven, and our salvation all of our lives. But in 1 John, the second chapter, 12th verse, he says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. We're told these things. We're given this written record of that payoff, of that penalty, of that debt that has been paid off. Now, He has to bless us and reveal these things to us that we'd have this peace and comfort. But as I succumb myself personally to the distractions, the things that that would take me away from study, from praise of God in my private life and in my home, when I neglect to pray to Him as I should, and so forth, because of the things that I think I need to be taken care of, then I need to be brought back to this fact that He, Jesus Christ, paid this debt. And having now this a sin-sick soul, and I long to, we cannot possibly imagine the perfection that we'll have, the righteousness that we have within us, but one day we'll be rid of the sin that He paid for here. And then I believe we will in fullness understand the love of God Almighty for Him to do this for us. Do we think we really deserve this? I don't think so. We've all come short of the glory of God. And He was righteous in that He could have just left us where we were put. He didn't put us there. He didn't cause Adam to transgress the law. He didn't cause me to commit the sin sins that I commit in my life. He did. Jesus Christ did pay for those sins, and He paid that debt off completely. In addition to that, He has written these words in this book. This inspired word of God. And that still small voice tells us when we might not understand something written here, then He's not revealed to us, then He speaks, whispers to us in that still small voice. And maybe we don't even understand words, but we're blessed with that peace which passeth all understanding. When we are going through things and trials and sufferings and sorrows in our lives, then we still have that peace in our lives and with this hope that we have in living with Him. So now we had the legal work, the payoff of that debt on the cross, and now we have this written paperwork, if you will, showing us and telling us what took place there, being forgiven in Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke, I believe the 5th chapter. Pharisees say something here that is very astute, believe it or not. It's the truth, even when they were questioning Christ. 5th chapter of Luke. Very familiar situation here, but in the 20th verse of this 5th chapter of Luke, says in the 20th chapter, verse, I'm sorry, 5th chapter, and when He saw their faith, Jesus Christ, when He saw their faith, He said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. 21st verse then goes on and says, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason. So there's trouble right there. They begin to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Well, they're right. Who can forgive sins but God alone? They're correct in that. And then I love how it goes. I'm not going to go into this, but it says when Jesus perceived their thoughts, He did not hear them audibly say this, but He didn't have to. He knew. And there's other places where that takes place, where He knows, even His own disciples. He knew. He knows them. It's amazing to me, and I'm thankful that these words are written here. But He perceived their thoughts here and asked them, what reason ye in your hearts? But who can forgive sins but God alone? God is the only one There's no man, there's no human being that now we are to we're to forgive one another our trespasses. And I've been brought to see my transgressions, my shortcomings, my shortfalls that I have in my life, my faults and my sinfulness and so forth. And so I believe God shows us those things to cause us to be able to forgive those around us, not to be so hard on them. Now, things still have to be taken care of and dealt with and so forth. And of course, thinking about serious crimes against man and so forth. But there is no human, no man that can eternally forgive sins. God is the one. The Pharisees and scribes had that right. Who can forgive sins except God himself? And he did that. But he didn't simply say, okay, I'll just say right now they're forgiven. No, he demanded payment for that, and Jesus Christ was that payment. He sacrificed himself for that. And now, as John said in 1 John, the second chapter, that there these things that are written to us that we might realize that. We're blessed to know that here. Now, I want to go into, as I head toward ending this, I want to go to Hebrews chapter 10 and bring in a couple of words here. Actually, some words of Jesus Christ, and then that kind of bring this together. The 10th chapter of Hebrews. This payment, it's the payment of this debt, payoff for this penalty of sin. It was by one offering. So in the 14th verse of the 10th chapter of Hebrews, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So this word perfected there. And if we go to, I believe it's the Gospel of John, the 19th chapter, I think around the 30th verse, when Jesus Christ says, it is finished. That's when that debt was paid. Our penalty was covered. Our sin was covered there. But this word perfected and that word finished, it goes down to the same root word. And of all of this, sometimes you look, and I know you very well know this, you go look at a concordance and you look at the Greek or the Hebrew, and when one English word or when that Greek or Hebrew word has an entire a half a page of words or definitions and so forth support that word, and it's sometimes hard to nail that down, and I never want to be guilty of trying to fit something in there just to cover some thought of mine, of mankind's. But one of the words in all of those definitions of perfected, and the root word of perfected and finished, when he said it is finished, is discharged. It's been discharged. That debt at that moment was legally cast away. It was paid off. And so I can answer when someone asks, what is the sin that I have committed in my life that Jesus Christ didn't die for? No, it was completely and totally discharged. I work now for the judicial system, federal judicial system, and all. And in our building that I work in, there's bankruptcy courts. And so that's where they discharge all debt of someone when they file for bankruptcy. And so they discharge those debts. And so Jesus Christ proclaimed, and I'm so thankful that that God put that in the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John, where Jesus Christ said, it is finished. Now, there's some difference of opinion for many on what it is there, but the complete salvation of His people, Jesus Christ came to save His people from their sins. That's who He came to save. When He said, "It is finished," then their salvation was complete. Their sin debt was paid off. The penalty was gone. Their sins covered. As we can go through and see in the history of the Hebrew people, they didn't stop committing sin when they were given the law. That shined a light on their transgressions. But all of them that Jesus Christ paid for there at Calvary there. And then these things were written to us that we might know that and have peace. Should we commit more sin that grace might more abound? No, we have. At least I do, and I know we all do. When we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ within us, we have the yearning and the unction to do that which is good in His sight. At His second appearing, I pray that I'm doing what I should do in service to Him. But if I am not, He has paid that debt in full. He has covered my sins. At that moment, at that twinkling of an eye, then at that very instant, then I believe we will know of the righteousness that He's given us and the love that it took to do that. Let me go to one more verse. I believe it is in Titus. In Titus, the second chapter. Titus chapter 2. In fact, speaking here of an appearing, a glorious appearing. 13th verse says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And so we won't get into redemption, but He bought us back. He paid for us, and we can go. And immediately the first book that comes to mind really is the book of Hosea, the prophet Hosea, in the redemption. He redeemed Gomer and bought her back. There, Jesus Christ, there was a cost there. This precious blood of Christ is we've been redeemed by that, and thereby our sins have been covered. I then questioned then, what am I going to do then in my life? And I hate that my dedication ebbs and flows, that I'm not always serving Him with the strength that I should, but certainly following Jesus Christ in that and the forgiveness that He's shown us as an example. But then, as the Apostle Paul said, he didn't mind his disciples following him as long as he was following Christ. And so we look to one another when in your service to Him, it is an edification to me a lesson when I look around or I hear the words that you say. Someone might just make one small statement and it puts me back on track on serving Him. Zealous of good works. Yes, I want to perform good works. Aren't you thankful that we don't have to worry about when we fail at that? That we might have that forgiveness of our debt laid back on us. That debt laid back on us, and the forgiveness is gone. No, we are forgiven. It's done because of what Christ did, and He's the only one that could have done that. The Jews were chastised and reprimanded for going about and Romans chapter 10, going about establishing their own righteousness. We cannot do that. But we are to be utilize that righteousness within us to serve Him because of what He deserves, what He's done. And now, when we are distracted in our lives, when we have loneliness for someone that we miss, that we wish we had talked to more, when we suffer physical ailments, even not being able to remember just common things and so forth. When we suffer those things, that still small voice still speaks to us and blesses us with peace in this life. That's not taken away because Jesus Christ dwells within us. And so I am longing for that next appearance of Jesus Christ when He calls my name, then I can understand fully in complete righteousness without sin that I can see the love that it took for Him to do this for me, to make this sacrifice and pay for my sins. May God bless and keep you. It's my prayer.